slower. Sometimes we get more achy. We're just going to change because the Bible says that we're born unto death. We're going to die. But Jesus is going to always live it. He's always been alive, and he always will be alive. So he doesn't change. And so we have that promise there, and the Bible says that he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So he was there at the beginning, he's going to be there at the end, and that end is never going to end. And so he's always going to be there. But that Alpha and Omega is obviously the A to the Z in the Greek alphabet. And so the alphabet was created and exhausted and is supposed to represent the beauty of his character and his power. If you've been here on Sunday nights, tonight I think I'm on, K, L, and M, or something like that. I can't even remember because my wife made me change it. So we're doing the ABCs of Jesus' name, part 4 tonight, and whatever those are. But anyway, I've forgotten. But we know that we see that he's Alpha and Omega, and there's something in the Bible, according to our alphabet, where he's named that all the way through. And it says here, it would seem that this alphabet was created for that. And so we're going to look at 3 places in the Bible where it says Alpha and Omega, because we're talking about yesterday, we're talking about today, and we're talking about forever. The Alpha and Omega. It's found in Revelation 1:8. You don't have to turn there. I can read it. If you like to, you can. But it says here, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And so obviously in the verse we read today in Hebrews, it says yesterday, today, and forever. Obviously that's in time sequence. But this one, he takes it out of that time sequence a little bit. It says here, which is, and that's today. But which was, so everything that I am today, it was prophesied and taught and preached yesterday about me. But I'm that today. And then it says here, and which is to come. Jesus is always going to be that. So today, yesterday, and forever, according to this verse. So he binds the Word of God together. It says that the stories of prophecy and the fulfillments of those prophecies, I enjoy doing that sometimes, looking in the Old Testament and seeing where it was prophesied, and then hundreds of years later seeing where it was fulfilled in the New Testament, things like that. And the only thing that is prophesied in this book that hasn't taken place yet is him returning. And so I'm looking forward to that one, and that will be the fulfillment of all the prophecies and so forth. But we see that his yesterday and today and forever wraps the Bible together as far as the stories. I heard of an older lady that was getting ready to go home to be with the Lord. And her Bible was right there on her little bedside table in her hospital room. And so she touched the Bible and said, Jesus here. And the Bible says that he is the Word. And the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so she tapped right there and said, that's Jesus here. He left that note for us. He is here. But then she pointed that little crooked finger and said, but Jesus is there. Why? Because she's getting ready to go see him. And because she knew the Alpha and the Omega, and her yesterday and her today and my forever. And so we have that promise, and it says right here, which was, which is to come. And so Revelation 21:6 is where the other part, or what the verse says. It says here, and he said unto them, it is done. And of course we know when Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. And so this verse says here in Revelation 21:6, and he said unto them, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the yesterday, I'm the today, I'm forever, the beginning and the end. And it says, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. And of course, there are several places in the Bible, the woman at the well, and other places where Jesus said that he, if you get me, you'll never thirst again. And if you drink that water, you're going to thirst again. But if you'll drink of me, you'll never thirst again. Of course, we know he was talking about spending eternity with him in heaven. So he's the Alpha and the Omega to that thirsty soul. If the Bible basically teaches this, if we drink of what the world has to offer, we're going to thirst again. If we drink of riches, we're going to thirst again. If we even say, I want honor and prestige and distinction, if we achieve that, we will thirst again. But the Bible says here that if we drink of that fountain of living water, we will never thirst again. So that yesterday and that today and forever, drink of him today and you'll never thirst again. Revelation 22:13 is the third place where it says, I am the Alpha and Omega. And it says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So we see where it says Alpha and Omega, there's three a little bit different there. This one, it says here that I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And so, of course, we see that His invisible presence is constantly with us. The Bible says where two or three are gathered, He's in the midst. I think we're past three today. So we have the Bible's promise that He's in the midst. And I hear people say that a lot. Well, if there's two or three of us, He's in the midst. But I have news for you. If you're saved and He's in you, the Bible says He will never leave you nor forsake you. So wherever you go, He's in the presence. And so we see that He's the first and the last. His presence, His invisible presence is constantly with us. Hebrews 13:5 says this, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always with us. And so we see there is power in His presence. There's several places in the Bible where His presence showed up, and even the devils said, let us get into those swines and let us run down the bank. They fled. In Jesus' presence, His power was so powerful that the demons had to flee. Not only is there power in His presence, there's power in His petition. In other words, what He says. The story of the apostles there in the boat, and the winds and the waves were crashing, and the storm was everywhere. He was asleep. And that's probably the best sleep anyway, when it's storming, right? Especially if you got a tin roof. Oh man, I need to go take me a nap. But if you got a tin roof and that rain, man, so he's down in the bottom of the boat. The wind and the storm's crashing everywhere. They're like, we're going to drown, we're going to drown. What did he do? He came out and just said, peace be still. So there's power in his petition. They stopped, and there was calm seas. So not only is there power in His presence, there's power in His petition, and thirdly, there is power of His putting on of hands. You read through that book right there, He put His hand on blind eyes and made them see. He put His hand on deaf ears and made them hear. He put His hands on leprous bodies and made them whole. He can do that. He even actually put His hands on dead bodies and they came back to life. So the devil, disease, and even death had to flee from His presence. So we see that verse says that His power is there forever. It was the same yesterday. It's the same today. The same guy that, I don't want to say guy, the same God that said, Lazarus, come forth, is the same one that will help you with anything you're facing. Same one. Same that was yesterday, He's that same way today. He will be that same way forever. And those of you that are young, you're thinking, death is so far down the road. I'm just, 25. I'm going to live forever. He'll be there in your forever as well. So we're going to look at these three points here this morning. Yesterday, why should we get saved according to Hebrews 13:8? Because of yesterday. Yesterday. You know what? Yesterday we were all sinners. And I'm going to look at a few people in the Bible that we know their story. We know they were a sinner. But they're thankful that they got saved because of yesterday. When we get to heaven and we talk to Apostle Paul, can you imagine how, obviously he's going to be excited. But can you imagine the day after the Damascus Road experience? And he's talking about yesterday. He was like, yesterday I persecuted Christians. Yesterday I tried to kill churches and destroy churches. But today, I'm forgiven. I'm saved. The Apostle Paul, what Jesus had to do, he had to save him out of his condition. He told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is the faithful saying and worthy of all expectations that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, and he added on, to whom I am chief. So Paul remembered his yesterday. Obviously, the Bible says that when you ask God to forgive you for your sins, He forgives them. And He forgets. He can forget yesterday. We can't. And of course, Apostle Paul struggled with that a little bit. And of course, I'm sure the devil brought him back up. God never brought back up his sins. But the devil did. And so he said to Timothy, Jesus Christ, He was the same yesterday and today and forever. He came and He saved me from that being that sinner that I was chief of. So he admitted that he was a sinner. That's the first step of salvation. Admitting that you're a sinner. He also told the church at Philippi in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He probably remembered yesterday. And he's like, I'm not perfect. And so I never can be perfect because I had a yesterday. But Jesus forgave me for that and put it under the blood, and I'm here today. I don't count myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth for those things that are before. So obviously in the first verse we read, he admitted that he was a sinner. Second verse we're seeing here, he had to accept forgiveness. There's a lot of people, when I've tried to lead them to the Lord, you know, they're like, I'm not a sinner. You've never lied? Mm-mm. You never had a bad thought? Nope, not me. You know, you never gave your brother a wedgie? No. After your mom told you not to? That's when it's a sin. Okay, it's not a sin to give your brother a wedgie now. But if your mom said don't and you did it anyway, then that would be a sin. But anyway, glad I could help you with that doctrinal truth. But anyway, we see here that he said, you know, there's a lot of people that's like, I've done too much to be saved. I've done this and this and this and this and this. God can't save me. Oh, yes, He can. Apostle Paul said, I was the chief of sinners. You might think you've done a lot. You haven't done more than I have, and God saved me. So we see here that yesterday and today and forever, Paul accepted him because of his yesterday. He admitted that he was a sinner. Secondly, he had accepted the forgiveness. That's hard for us to do. I did it, but you're forgiven. It's hard to wrap my brain around that. We just got accepted by faith. If Jesus said you're forgiven, you're forgiven. Paul had to accept it. Then we see he also said in Acts 9, 3 through 6, he said here, after that road to Damascus, verse 3 says this, and as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, or near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. I remember that. Again, it wasn't a physical light. I didn't see it. But I was sitting back there about the third row from the back on the left side in 1977. And Jesus' presence made real to me. You're a sinner. And if you die, you're going to go to hell. But if you'll come and set me as your personal Savior, you'll die and go to heaven. That's exactly what Paul was hit right in the face on that road to Damascus. We're going to go persecute some Christians. We're going to go burn down some churches. We're going to go do some evil. Wham! Jesus' presence hit him right there. In verse 4 it says this, and he fell to the earth. Remember that spot? I didn't fall, but I was gripping that pew pretty hard. All right, that's what he did. He fell to the ground. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul. He actually heard it. We felt it. Why persecutest thou me? Verse 5, and he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against pricks. Verse 6, and he was trembling. I remember that too. I was scared. Because the devil was telling me, everybody in here is going to laugh. That's a big old fat lie. Nobody laughed. They were excited. Hey, there's one going to get saved. Woo! I'm glad I came to church this morning. Not, oh, I wonder what he's done. All right, let's post about this. Give me the list of your sins so I can tell everybody. No! They were excited. And so that day when that he fell and hit the ground, he was trembling. But then he says here, he astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? So when he got saved, he admitted he was a sinner. He accepted the forgiveness. And then we see here, laying on the ground, he was talking to the Lord. He got saved and he was astonished. He was like, God, don't you remember all my yesterdays? And God said, yeah, I was there. I was watching you do them. But that's why I died on the cross, so you could have forgiveness. He was astonished. I kind of identify with Paul. Now, I probably did more after I was saved that was stupid and wrong. That 10 to 17 years, woo, I wish I could forget them. But you know what? They are forgiven. Why? Because I had a God yesterday that forgave me from them. Now, I can remember them. And the devil will remind me of them sometimes. But Jesus has no clue because they're under the blood. Because I had a Savior yesterday. So praise God that He's the same yesterday and today and forever. So Paul, it says here, now I can't see my notes, sorry. He admitted that he was a sinner and he accepted the forgiveness and he was astonished. And I can identify with that. There was no hard deal for me to admit that I was a sinner. It was hard for me to accept the forgiveness, but I'm glad I did. And I just go through a life astonished. And what did Paul say? What will thou have me to do? It's not hard for me to give my life to God. It's not hard for me to go soul winning. It's not hard for me to read my Bible. It's not hard for me to go visiting. Why? I'm just astonished that God will let me do it. And that's exactly what Paul did. I think when a lot of people give him credit, probably one of the best Christians in the Bible. Probably did more for God than a lot of people in the Bible. I know this fact, we wouldn't be saved if it wasn't for Paul. But it says, what would thou have me to do? So usually when a person gets saved that has a past, buddy, they're ready to put it in high gear and make up for lost time. Paul had gotten saved as an adult, and he didn't want to waste any more time doing wrong. He wanted to spend the rest of his life doing right. So Paul, because of that Savior from yesterday, got saved out of his sin. Here's one, Joseph. Joseph was saved as a young child, and he was already saved. But he had some difficulties. He had a past. So even though he was saved, the devil was trying to knock him out and to keep him from being astonished and keep him from saying, what will thou have me to do? And allowed him to go through some hard times. So Jesus of yesterday had to help him not out of some things, but he had to help him through some things. So Job had some things allowed into his life. Joseph had some things allowed into his life. But Jesus of yesterday said, I'll go with you every step. I'll help you through it. While you're down there in that pit, wishing your brothers hadn't thrown you down there, I'm right here with you. As you're being sold into slavery, I'm right here with you. Genesis 37:3 says here, now Israel, that was Jacob, loved Joseph more than all of his children. This might be a problem. Don't play favorites. All right? And I don't understand it. Okay, I had only two, so it wasn't hard for me. But those of you that have multiple, don't play favorites. All right? Because the other ones are going to get them. All right? Color, coat of many colors had blood spread all over it. And they got thrown in that pit. Why? Because nanny, nanny, boo, boo, I'm daddy's favorite. Could have happened. So don't play favorites. Love them all. God doesn't, he's no respecter of persons. He loves us all the same. So maybe a fault in Jacob's life. But Joseph, at that age, he's saved already. And he got thrown in, it says here, and he made him a coat of many colors. So he was stripped of his coat and cast into the pit. He was sold into slavery. But then that third thing he was seduced by his master's wife. So three S's there. He was stripped of his coat. He was sold into slavery, and he was seduced by his master's wife. Now, he was saved already, had the Holy Spirit inside of him, saying, no, 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 you don't do that. You don't commit adultery. You don't do that with that lady. And the Bible said he fled and left his coat with him. He had some coat problems. All right, he lost one with blood all over it, and then that one, she's holding it as he's booking it out the door. So we see here that Jacob had a past. It wasn't his choosing. It wasn't even him doing wrong. It was him doing right. But God had to help him through it. Genesis 50:20 says this, but as for me, you thought it evil. Who is he talking to? He was talking to his brothers. You guys that threw me in that pit that day and ruined my coat, all right, you thought it was evil, but God meant it for good. Who was he talking to? He was talking to those slave owners that put him in that, locked him up and took him to Egypt. You thought it was evil, but God meant it for good. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the devil. Just like the devil was at the cross when Jesus died on the cross and it is finished. I won. Oh no, 3 days later he came back. You didn't win. Same thing here. When Joseph got thrown in the pit and got sold into slavery, the devil's thinking, yeah, there's me one. There's me a trophy. Uh-uh. With Jesus' help, that Jesus of yesterday that helped Joseph, he said, you guys, all you, my brothers, my boss's wife, even the devil himself, meant it for evil, but listen to the rest of the verse. But God meant it unto good. Romans 8:28 coming to fruition right there. All things work together for good. To bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. So when Joseph was standing there with that bag, passing out that corn, and he saw his brothers there filling up their bags. Yes. All right. I didn't like being thrown in that pit, but Jesus was with me, my Savior of yesterday. I didn't like being sold into slavery, but Jesus was with me, my Savior of yesterday. I didn't like being seduced and lied about by that, he might have said heifer, but that my boss's wife. But, Jesus meant all that for good. Why? Because I kept trusting him. He kept helping me. And now look what he's allowing me to do. Keeping many people alive, even his own brothers. Jesus can do that for you. That Jesus of yesterday can help you through any situation. Here's a couple of other ones. I'll put all three of these together. David, Samson, and the prodigal son. All of these were saved. Paul wasn't saved, but that Savior of yesterday saved him. Joseph, that Savior yesterday was with him and helped him through all those situations. Here's one that Jesus helped them to get him back. Jesus helped all three. All three of these made mistakes, but Jesus got them back. That Savior of yesterday wants you back. He wants you back. David, what did he do? He killed the lion. He killed the bear. He killed the Goliath. Why? Because God helped him. Yeah, he was probably pretty good at that slingshot, but it was God's strength. It was God directing that rock. He killed his tens of thousands, the Bible says. Saul had killed his thousands, but oh, David had killed his tens of thousands. Man, he was on top of the world, super Christian. And lo and behold, the devil tripped him up with his sin with Bathsheba. But that God of yesterday that helped him with that lion, that helped him with that bear, that helped him with that Goliath, I'm still the same Savior. I'll help you with that sin. David, what did David do? Man, he spent hours on his bed. I'm paraphrasing, but this is what the Bible said. He spent hours on his bed crying. God, I blew it. I remember how it felt when you helped me with that lion. And I remember how it felt when you helped me with that bear. And I remember that day when Goliath went crashing down and you helped me pick up that sword and get his head. But man, I'm so embarrassed. I've blown it. I want to be that man after God's own heart again. The Savior of yesterday came and said, "Hey, David, you can have it back." Wow. Kind of like Paul. I'm just astonished. And what did David do for the rest of his life? What would thou have me to do? What would thou have me to do? Because I'm just astonished that my Savior of yesterday is that awesome. Samson, we know him. He was ripped. He was jacked, whatever they say these days. He had buys, tries on top of buys and tries. That dude was muscle man. And, usually guys that like that, they like to show them off. They got their tank top on instead of their long sleeve button up. So he probably went to the tank tops and he was walking around all, And, even before Delilah, there was others down in Timnath that he was checking out. He had a problem with the looks. And he had a problem with the girls. And what did he do? He sinned. And he had killed thousands with his jawbone, with that Savior of yesterday helping him swing it. But now he's all weak. God, I want it back. Just one time, I want it back. So the God of yesterday, the Savior of yesterday came and said, "One time, I'm going to help you." And he got right with the Lord for that one day. And it says he killed more in his death than he did in his life. He got it back. The prodigal son, we know. He was in his dad's house. He was living it up. He had everything he wanted. And he asked his dad, "Give me my inheritance now." Took it. Went down to the far country, spent it, wasted it, partying, drinking, all the kind of sins that you can imagine. Ended up in the hog pen, eating slop. Just like Paul, he had to admit, "I've sinned. I've blown it. Even the servants back at Daddy's house got way better than this. God, I want it back." The Savior of yesterday said, "That's all right. Come on." And the Bible says his dad saw him coming and ran, hugged him, kissed his neck. Man, he had it. He had it back. So what did Jesus do? He helped Paul. He saved him out. What did he do with Joseph? He helped him through. And what did he do with these fellows? He helped them back. That's our God of yesteryear. So you say, "Hey, I got saved as a young child. I didn't get saved in the nursery and have a drug ring going in my little backpack and selling to all the other other nursery kids and things like that. I didn't sin from that time on. I was a good kid, and I got saved early, and I've been in church my whole life, and I've served the Lord, and I've. I'm not like Paul. I'm not like David and Samson and the prodigal son. I'm not even like Joseph. God has given me a good life." But that same Jesus that saved all these guys through, out, and with had to save you too. Listen to what the Bible says. Jesus still had to die on that cross, even from what we would call the seemingly good kids. and the good adults. Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. Out of sin did my mother conceive me. We were just born this way. Since Adam and Eve till now, we were just born sinners. Ephesians 2:2 says this, and the children of disobedience. You don't have to teach a kid to be disobedient. They're born that way. You don't have to teach them to lie. They'll look right at you. Did you eat that cookie? And there's chocolate chip all over their face. Mm-mm, not me. It was my sister. What's that on your face? She wiped cookie on me, so I'd get in trouble. I mean, they just come up with it. They're born that way. And then verse 3 says this, among whom also we all, everybody, we all had our conversations in times past, that Savior from yesterday, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So there's a lot of good kids that they dot the I's and cross the T's spirituality-wise, but there's a lot going on right here. Sins of the mind. And what Jesus say when he got here to the earth? I know the Old Testament says, do not commit adultery. I say, don't even look in lust. Don't sin right here. Because if you look in lust, you've already done it right here. So, you know, even, you know, I wasn't Mr. Goody Two Shoes or Mrs. Goody Two Shoes. So I identify with Paul. But I've met some that, like, I've been in church my whole life. I hadn't done anything. I've been a good kid. According to this, we were born in sin. We have sins of mind. And it says here, where by nature the Christian of wrath, or children of wrath, even to others. Romans 5:12 says this, whereas by that one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So we see all in all these verses. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you might not have had a past like Paul, and you might not have had some issues like Joseph, and you might have not went away like some of these other guys, but you did have sin. You were born that way. So praise the Lord, according to the Bible in Hebrews 13:8, we should get saved because of our Savior of yesterday. Now, we're going to talk about the present. We've got to speed these other two up. The present, today, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today. Praise God. And so I needed Him to save me yesterday when I was 10, but I still need Him every day. It says here, if we were saved from our sin yesterday and expected to stand in our own strength and just do right from till we see Jesus, we would fail. We needed Him yesterday to save us. We need Him today to keep us saved. He's the one that does it. We can't keep ourselves saved. We need Him to help us through the life. So we need Jesus just as much today as we did yesterday. He saved us yesterday, but He's keeping us saved today. He's the great high priest, the Bible says. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, and adding the blood to our sins, our 1 John 1:9. So we need Him today. We have Him, the indwelling Christ, today, and He will never leave us nor forsake us like we saw. But we see, we're going to look at twofold experiences. And I'm not going to take time to show you where they are in the Bible, but I'm just going to make statements. They're twofold statements. So we needed Jesus to save us, but we need Jesus today. Listen to this verse. Jesus says, I am come that you might have life. Okay? I come so I can save you. You know what the rest of that verse says? And a lot of people quote it this way, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But if you'll slow down, it says, I come to give you life and life more abundant. So we need Him to save us, but we need Him today to help us to live that life. So He said, I have come to save you. I come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Here's the other ones. I came to give you regeneration, but I come to give you renewal. He's the one that saves you, but He's the one I talked to this morning and renewed my spirit and renewed my mindset and renewed my life. I come to give you regeneration, but I'm here every day to give you renewal. I come to give you conversion, but I'm here every day for your consecration. So He converted us when we saved. Once saved, always saved. But you got to grow. That's what consecration means. And I got to have Him today, every day. Here's another one. I came and I saved you, and therefore our relationship started. But I need to be here today for our fellowship to continue. So I ask Him to save me. God, child, God, saved, or He saved me. I got that. But I want that fellowship every day. He came for those twofold. He came and He gave me righteousness. The Bible says that His righteousness was imputed into me. My sin was imputed into Him. Standing here justified. Justified, never sinned. But I need Him every day to help me to stay holy. So He gave me righteousness back then, yesterday, but He gives me holiness today. Here's another one. He gave me peace in God, but He's here today to give me the peace of God. So statement after statement. That same yesterday and today, praise God, He's both. We need Jesus today. Salvation is a one-time thing, yes, but our daily growth is a daily growth. We need Him today. Such a life is possible if we have that relationship with Him daily. We walk with Him daily. The life of Christ is like that pendulum clock. As long as that pendulum's moving, it's going to keep perfect time. Some of you may have seen the ones with the chains and the weights and things like that. That pendulum, you start it, and it just moves. And as long as it's moving, it's going to be perfect timing. So that same Savior that saved me yesterday is here today to help that pendulum keep swinging every day. The united life with Christ is an everlasting beauty and power. We need Him every day. So here's some commandments I'm going to fly through real quick. If we are to be like Christ, we need Him today. If we're going to come out from among the world and be separate, we need Him today. If we're going to, if we're going through a great loss, we need Him today. If we're to love our neighbor, and then He adds on, and our enemies, we're going to need Him today. If we're going to let our light so shine, we're going to need Him today. If we're going to let that salt remain with its savor, we're going to need Him today. If we're going to stand before Him one day and hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," we need Him today, not just yesterday. So praise the Lord. Three reasons we must accept Jesus as our Savior according to Hebrews 13:8. The Savior of yesterday, our past. The Savior of our present, or today, our present. And here's the last one, forever, and that's our future. If we get saved yesterday and we have walked with God today, just like Enoch walked with God and was not, he had a good relationship with God. If we got saved yesterday and we walk with God today, we're going to have an unbelievable future. That's what the Bible says. That according to our works, that we're going to be judged for at the judgment seat of Christ. That's going to be that position or that reward or whatever you want to say throughout eternity. So it's important that we have a Savior yesterday. It's important that we have a Savior today. But that future, that eternity is going to be amazing. We cannot wrap our brains around the duration of eternity. Because if we think we got it figured out, eternity is just starting. Think about that. I'll read that one more time. We cannot wrap our brains around the duration of eternity. It's forever. It's eternal. But if we think we got it all figured out, it's just beginning. We are just one heartbeat and one breath away from our future, our forever. And praise God, Jesus is already there, waiting on the other side. So without Jesus, we will have to pay for our past sins in hell. Without Jesus, we're going to make a blunder of our life today. And without Jesus in eternity, it's going to be the same length, but it'll be dark and doom and where the devil lives, in a place called hell. So if we have Jesus of our future, we're going to be there. And of course, according to the Bible, our time is going to be spent walking on streets of gold. Spent basically in a land that don't need a light because Jesus is the light. It's going to be spent looking at that river of life and walking through those gates of pearl. It's going to be spent, some of you like to just drive and look at houses and properties and things like that. Can you imagine heaven? Everything's a mansion. Down here you drive, oh man, look at that place. And then you drive, up in heaven it's a continual, everybody's got a mansion. And so we're going to spend our time. And then the most fun will be spent praising our Savior for saying, "Lord, thank you for being my Savior yesterday. Thank you for being my Savior today. And thank you for being my Savior forever." Three reasons why we, according to Hebrews 13:8, that we should be saved. Because of yesterday and because of today. today and because of forever. We need him in all three places. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's all stand. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day and thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, I just ask you to be with the ones, Lord, right now, if you're working on their hearts, that they're not 100% sure they're going to heaven. Lord, show them. Let them know that you are the Savior of their yesterday and you will save them today and that they'll be able to spend eternity with you in heaven. Lord, help those ones that maybe are going through something like Joseph did. They didn't choose it. They didn't want it. They didn't even do anything to deserve it. But help them realize that you'll be right with them every step of the way. And Lord, if there's somebody here today that maybe has blown it in an area, God, help them realize that they can come back just like these did. So thank you for being a Savior yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Derek. Altar's open. You need to be saved, come be saved. You need to come pray, come pray. No judgment. Definitely pray for that young lady. Amen. I mean, it used to happen. I don't know that it happens much anymore, but it used to happen, you know, when I would see somebody and then years later I'd see them. Hey, you hadn't changed a bit. You still look like, just like you did when we were in college. That don't happen to me anymore, but it used to. All right. And so you probably remember that. People saying, you know, you hadn't changed a bit. You're just like, now I hope they would say that about my, you know, serving the Lord, you're right where I expected you to be, things like that. That's the same. But can you imagine Jesus? He is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll be the same. And so looks, his love for us, it'll just stay the same. So praise the Lord for that. Brother Sharp, you dismiss us in prayer.